chatting with Senator James Lankford today, talking about basically what's impacting businesses in the area. So what were some of the high points?
Yeah, some of the high points, obviously inflation, supply chain issues, how we're going to continue to be able to deal with energy costs. That's still, though the price of gasoline and diesel is coming down, it's still very, very much higher than what it was 2 years ago. It's infecting everybody's budget. And obviously, there's a lot of back to school. People trying to figure out, okay, post-COVID, let's try to get a normal rhythm here. But we've yet to be able to hit normal stride.
But Oklahoma businesses overall doing better than some.
Yeah, they are. Oklahoma businesses are doing better than a lot. Our unemployment rate is lower than it is in many other areas of the country. But the challenge still comes back down to manufacturing. A lot of supplies, people can't get it. They're dependent on China for even the smallest part in whatever they're doing. They're very exposed to this. Some of it's still in Mexico as well for motors. Anyone who has anything with a motor is having a hard time being able to get a hold of it right now. So a lot of challenges out there.
Now, I know you've also been working on protecting Oklahoma ag land from foreign purchases. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, this is a big issue to me. We have restrictions, what are called CFIUS restrictions. If you want to buy a hospital or you want to buy a technology company, you would have to go through some approval process on that as well because you're a foreign entity in that purchasing. There is no USDA piece on this. So if you're buying ag technology or you're buying agricultural land, in your foreign entity, USDA doesn't have a seat at the table to be able to say, hey, this is a threat to the local economy. We saw the year after marijuana was legalized in Oklahoma, the next year there were more foreign sales of land in Oklahoma than any other state in America. I don't mean by percentage, I mean actual acres. So we've seen a tremendous rush into foreign ownership into Oklahoma. That has a real effect on just price of land. If this marijuana whole trend collapses at some point, we have 8,000 growers in the state. That collapses at any point, it's going to also affect the prices on the other side. So that instability does affect us. So it's not just foreign ownership next to Tinker Air Force Base or next to Altus Air Force Base or next to Fort Sill. It's also just the stability of our own prices and the predictability as well.
And I know recreational not going to be on the ballot this time, but it's probably coming eventually.
Yeah, there'll be another vote on it, and Oklahomans are going to have to be able to make a decision. I've been pretty outspoken. I don't think more marijuana usage helps our families, helps our workplace, helps our streets be safer. I know there are people that disagree with me on that. I just, as a youth pastor for 20 years before I came into Congress, never met a family that I thought, you know what would help this family? If only the mom and dad smoked more marijuana, this family would be so much better. I don't get the trend of folks saying, let's do even more marijuana in our state because it's helping our state. Affecting land prices, we've seen transnational criminal organizations move into our state from Mexico. We have large Chinese presence in our state of an underground organizations that are here. We have human trafficking coming into our state. We have sex trafficking moving into some of these facilities. There are real risks that are happening in our communities right now based on the rapid acceleration of marijuana growth. I'm one of those that opposed at the beginning. I'm definitely opposed to saying, well, that was great. Let's do that even more because I don't think it's helping our state.
But you have been doing some helpful things for ag producers. I know that you've been working on a bill that would establish a universal application across federal agencies for people who actually need assistance from like floods, natural disasters, all those kinds of things.
Yeah, multiple areas where we've got people that are actually applying for FEMA grants or USDA grants where they have to go through basically the same information over and over again. There'll be just a slight difference. Or I turned it in last time, I got to redo the whole thing all over again on this. Again, most entities and organizations, whether it be a website that's out there, when you come back to it, it'll have your previous information. You can just fill it in and update it, except the federal government. So we got to fix this with our agencies to be able to simplify that process.
Well, because farmers don't have that kind of time.
No, they don't have that kind of time to be able to manage it, nor the... Again, it's just the most simple of things to say, allow people to be able to log back in. All my information is all there. And don't make me fill this information out five different times because five different departments within the same organization want to have a different application.
And tell us a little bit about the Transparency and Honest Energy Relations Act, which supposedly is going to prevent the government from USDA flawed social cost. So tell us kind of where we're at on that one.
Yeah, so the social cost of carbon is this big piece that's out there where the federal government and the Biden administration is trying to say, we're going to guess what the worldwide effect of this carbon emission is going to be, whether that be from cow emissions or whether that be from raising any kind of crops or whether that be from running a tractor in the actual diesel usage there. They want to get a social score onto it and a carbon usage score and then to be able to have an increased cost based on that. This is a way to be able to sneak in a carbon tax on people without actually passing it in law. that kind of tax has to come through in law, has to come through Congress. That's the constitutional construct. Any revenue or any revenue raiser has to begin in the House of Representatives, has to begin in Congress. And so the administration is trying to find some way to be able to get this in. I want to be able to expose where are the issues, where are the problems on this, and so everybody has full information on it, and there's no sneaky new tax that's just dropped on people that are already just trying to be able to do what they can best for the land, best for their communities. I think the people in D.C. just forget we live here. Okay, we're taking care of the water and the land. We want generationally this to be provided for. It's not like we're trashing our land. Newcomers come through and trash our land. Those of us that live here and raise our families here, we want to take care of this.
Absolutely. Thanks for visiting with us.
You bet. Glad to be able to do it.